What is all the rage?
Chase is back, bringing his great band and the usual rock and roll attitude. Sam Chase and the Untraditional will get you moving and grooving. It's a Friday night concert at the Chico Women's Club, July 26th. Get tickets now at kzfr.org, Chico Paper Company, and Blazin' Jays. The Sam Chase and the Untraditional from San Francisco, back in Chico to play for you at the Chico Women's Club. Don't miss it.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls and smoothies blended with coconut water, and they're located at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. Open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on Saturday from 11 to 3, with to-go and catering available. For more info, go to iloveohmfoods.com or find them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. They're licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available. Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome, welcome to show 1925, the June 19th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. All right, what do we have on today's show, Danny?
On today's show, we'll be discussing mountain lions, what lies behind some recent attacks and deaths, mountain lion deaths, not human deaths, and what, or rather who, is killing California mountain lions. We'll end with another threat to mountain lions that comes from urban and suburban spaces, second-generation anticoagulant rodenticide traps. Over to you, Jeannie.
Thanks, Danny. The story is back from 2019. It's from Colorado. On the morning of February 4th, 2019, Travis Kaufman's trail run in Colorado quickly turned into a fight for survival. Kaufman was attacked in the Horsetooth Mountain Park by a young mountain lion, which clamped its jaws onto his wrist and clawed at Kaufman's face and neck. And after a scuffle, Kaufman got his foot onto the cat's neck and suffocated it, killing it. Kaufman made it to a nearby hospital and survived with no long-term injuries. When Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials went to collect the animal's body, they found it had been partially eaten by two other juvenile mountain lions, which were later determined to be the dead mountain lion's siblings. They also discovered that the mountain lion that attacked Kaufman had weighed only 24 pounds and was no more than 4 months old. In other words, it was a mountain lion kitten. A similar incident occurred less than 2 months later when a 7-year-old boy was playing in the backyard of his home in British Columbia and was attacked by a juvenile mountain lion. The boy's mother had to pry the cat's jaws apart to free her son's arm. The boy and his mom survived, and the mountain lion, along with two others nearby, was hunted down with hounds and shot. The local mayor described the animals as quite small, possibly a year old. According to wildcat experts, the similarities between these two attacks suggest a worrisome trend, one that could be inadvertently caused by humans. Both attacks involve juvenile mountain lions who are either alone or with compatriots of a similar age. There was no mother around. Experts are beginning to suspect that the Colorado hunting practices may be to blame for this scenario. When hunters kill a mother lion, her orphaned young are left to find food alone. The cubs often starve and out of desperation resort to preying on humans and livestock. To Mark Elbrock, director of the PUMA program at Panthera, a global wildcat conservation organization, it's clear that mountain lions in these scenarios were an orphaned family group. Western Oregon University wildlife biologist John Laundre told the press that mountain lion kittens typically don't leave their mother until they're between 12 and 16 months old. He reports observing family groups where the female was feeding two 100-pound kittens because they weren't ready to leave yet. For Laundre, it's suspicious to even think that a four-month-old kitten would be out there on its own. It takes a long time to grow up and be able to feed yourself as a mountain lion. That's why they have these long, they spend these long periods with their mom. It's always the mom. The males lead a very solitary life. Laundre says that the only reason that would happen is if the kitten were orphaned. Kittens who lose their mothers at ages under 4 months generally die of starvation. Young cats older than 10 months probably have enough hunting skills to survive on their own. But mountain lion kittens between 4 and 9 months will not have a clue how to survive. Usually, mountain lions go after deer or porcupine. But without a mother, that intermediate age group, which includes the kitten that attacked the Colorado runner, can get desperate. According to Laundre, hunger and a lack of skills may lead them to attack anything from mice to humans. And adult cats don't attack people. Just as an aside, in California, there have been only 15 verified mountain lion attacks in California since 1986. And of those, three were fatal. The last fatal attack occurred in 2004 in Orange County, where a middle-aged man was killed. The last non-fatal attack happened in Cupertino, where a six-year-old boy was non-fatally attacked. Panthera director Mark Elbrock says that it's significant that the necropsy of that lion, the mountain lion cub in Colorado, revealed vegetation in the animal's stomach. Mountain lions are obligate carnivores who rarely ingest vegetation, and if they were feeding on things they don't typically feed on, it means that they were on the edge of starvation. It's also significant that the dead animal was later cannibalized by its siblings. According to Elbrock, when the first kitten dies, the siblings generally eat it because they're starving. Although mountain lions are sometimes killed in the course of hunting big prey like deer, both biologist Laundre and the Panthera big cat defender Mark Elbrock think legal hunting is a more likely explanation for why the cat that attacked Kaufman was hungry and alone. In Colorado and other states, laws prevent hunters from killing a mother with kittens. But a female cougar's status as a mother is not always obvious to hunters that encounter her. And according to a 2008 study, the probability that a hunter would encounter a mother without her offspring is greater than 80%. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife Department dictates that hunters report the date, location, and sex of their kills and submit any harvested, quote, harvested, lion for inspection. But the agency has yet to release a location breakdown for where the female lions were killed in Fort Collins, in the Fort Collins area, leading to the Kaufman's attack, which Mark Elbrock from Panthera finds troubling. He believes that the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Department may be hiding the fact that a female mountain lion was killed, leaving behind orphaned kittens. And we'll go switch over to Danny to bring us into the second half of the story.
Yeah, I guess the only comment I wanted to make on that, because it's sort of depressing me, I recall when this news came out and it was, you know, heroic man fends off mountain lion that tried to attack him and suffocates it. It wasn't, heroic man fights 24-pound mountain lion
kitten. My sense was that was how the news spun that. It wasn't my sense of what the runner himself was actually trying to convey. But yeah, you are absolutely right. There's a very sensationalistic aspect of these encounters.
Yeah, not that a cub that size couldn't harass you and leap at you. I've had 20-pound cats that could leap at my face if they were super angry. So, who shall not be named right now. So it's certainly, I can understand wanting to defend oneself. Moving on. In the U.S., hunting practices are determined on a state-by-state basis. In Colorado, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Agency sets the number of mountain lions that can be legally killed each year by licensed hunters, regardless of sex. The mountain lion hunting season runs from November through April.
That's a pretty long hunting season.
Yeah, and I just don't know why we would allow mothers to be killed. just causes problems, as we're discussing. The idea underpinning the policy is that removing some predators from a landscape protects populations of game animals and, of course, most importantly, livestock. Adrian Treves, a professor of environmental studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, said that there is a long-held belief that if you kill a lion or a wolf that appears threatening, you solve future problems by reducing risk to domestic animals and people. That assumption is still held by many agencies. But the problem is that there isn't a system in place to follow up with the livestock owner to see if it helped with future predator encounters, so it's hard to know if the system is working as intended. Chris Darimont, a conservationist from the University of Victoria in Canada, who is also a hunter, said that researchers are increasingly finding the opposite to be true. Removing adult carnivores from a population results in more cross-species conflicts, not less. One result of legal hunting, he added, is that mountain lion populations get younger overall. And we see this time and again with this sort of interference with the apex predators, that removing them, killing them, it always just screws up the ecosystem one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think an interesting aspect of that little factoid is that you end up with a less wise population.
Yeah.
You see similar things happening with elephant populations in Africa in particular, where they need generations of knowledge that get passed on.
And then, of course, the young ones will cause more trouble, and then they will be subsequently killed.
Yes.
And people will be saying, man, we've got a lot of problems. We've got to keep killing even faster and faster. It's a very silly human failure of perception. Darimont believes that when you remove adults and the social role they play in populations, teaching the young how to hunt, for example, you give a free pass for juveniles to behave like teenagers and do things that are risky for themselves and us and our livestock. By hunting adult lions, humans have set in motion, in some cases unforeseen, unexpected, and perverse outcomes. Adrian Treves, professor of environmental studies at the University of Wisconsin and Madison, said that sometimes after an adult male is killed, several younger males come into a territory and start jockeying to be the new dominant male. These new power players might be unfamiliar with the area and its available prey, which leads them to start attacking livestock. State hunting policies like Colorado's follow what's known as the North American Wildlife Conservation Model, which is a set of non-binding so-called principles that wildlife management use to manage populations of hunted species across the continent. This population stipulates that U.S. and Canadian citizens can hunt and fish non-commercially for food, fur, self-defense, or to protect property, according to government-mandated limits that ensure populations are managed sustainably. The model originated in the early 20th century when President Theodore Roosevelt noted that North American game species like bison were being driven to extinction by overhunting. In order to protect these species, Roosevelt and other conservationists encouraged policies that would lead recreational hunters to lead as stewards of the land and animals they relied on.
And that's what happens because we didn't have an environmental movement per se back then, mm-hmm. right? So,
and many hunters will still claim, you know, to your face, that they're doing conservation by going out and, you know, wounding deer that run off, or, you know, hitting 20 ducks on the wing that they can never find again, depending where they fall. That back to the article, that shift brought many North American game species back from the verge of extinction and allowed hunters to see themselves as not just hunters, but as conservationists holding themselves to a high code of conduct. I got ahead of myself there. The mantra that hunting had saved wildlife became widespread. Some experts think that since then, the model has given hunters a misplaced sense of justification in killing predators. Elbrock from Panthera and Treves, the professor of environmental studies, both say that humans are the number one cause of death for predators like mountain lions and wolves. Elbrock, Landre, Darimont, and Treves all said that the February attack on Kaufman should serve as a wake-up call that demonstrates why legal mountain lion hunting may not be working as intended. Instead, Darimont said capturing, rehabilitating, and releasing problematic cats, rather than killing them, could be a way to ensure that their offspring didn't wind up in situations in which they feel forced to hunt humans and livestock. He says it's time to re-examine some decades-old assumptions about the way we manage large carnivores.
You think?
Yeah. So that was an article from the June 1st, 2019 Business Insider by Aylin Woodward.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah. It's interesting to see this North American wildlife management model in action here.
Which just as we just mentioned is ancient in terms of years, doesn't require any follow up or actual studying. It's all very loosey goosey.
Yeah.
You know.
You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Mm-hmm. All right, carry on, Danny.
All right, I'm back.
Story number two, you're back.
In researching the status of mountain lions in California, we discovered that though Californians voted to ban hunting of mountain lions way back in 1990 under what was then Proposition 117, that has not stopped scores of lions from being killed in California every year through what are called, quote, depredation permits. These are issued as a matter of course when a lion has attacked a domestic animal. Since Prop 117 passed, an average of 98 mountain lions have been killed each year under these so-called depredation permits, nearly four times the average number of lions killed each year under such permits prior to the ballot measure, according to a Sacramento Bee analysis of state records. Experts caution that the higher numbers may reflect better record-keeping and a larger lion population.
So here we don't have hunting in California.
Cynics may caution that these numbers are hunting in disguise. In 2016, livestock owners and professional trappers, houndsmen, and sharpshooters killed 120 mountain lions, including five each in El Dorado and Placer counties. A provision of Prop 117 explicitly stated that when an attack on pets or livestock is confirmed, the state shall issue a permit to a livestock owner upon request to take the offending cat. The state has always interpreted take to mean kill. In 2018, the State Department of Fish and Wildlife changed that policy. Now the applicant must first try non-lethal methods to scare away or keep out the cougar. A permit would be issued only after two non-lethal attempts. Though, you know, it's probably going to be up to their word that they tried this non-lethal, you know, approach. I don't know if we have the details here.
I'm sure the notes are somewhere, but it needs to be noted somewhere, but yeah, whether it's actually happening.
There are an estimated 4,000 to 6,000 mountain lions in California. They aren't considered endangered or threatened. State biologists say the overall population is stable, but scientists have discovered isolated pockets of cougars, like those in the Santa Monica Mountains, that are under severe threat due to inbreeding. They get cut off by freeways and housing complexes and the like. The Sacramento Bee reviewed hundreds of depredation permits and wildlife incident report forms dating back to at least 2010 on file at the Department of Fish and Wildlife Lab in Rancho Cordova, and also analyzed a database of historical depredation permit records kept by the state going back to the 1970s. It's kind of interesting here whether they chose not to go back further or we just didn't have records for these things.
I bet we didn't have records.
That required permits but somehow all got lost or never happened. The Bee's analysis shows that despite the ban on hunting mountain lions, California had issued around as many permits to kill them as it did permits to hunt pronghorn antelope, a native California species with a similar-sized statewide population that's hunted in tightly regulated seasons.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
And sad.
Sport hunting for mountain lions hasn't been allowed in California since Governor Ronald Reagan signed a moratorium in 1972. The moratorium followed a century in which lions, like wolves, were regarded mainly as a nuisance to ranchers. More than 12,400 mountain lions were killed between 1907 and 1963 and turned in for bounties, according to the Mountain Lion Foundation. In the late 1980s, state officials had proposed reopening a hunting season allowing the hunting of 190 lions a year, a move that prompted the anti-hunting initiative. Prop 117's advocates say that the numbers of mountain lions hunted in California could have been much higher than 190, since the state would have also continued issuing depredation permits. In neighboring Oregon, hunters killed 268 cougars, or mountain lions, in 2016 in that state's lion hunting season. That's on top of the 151 that were killed for preying on livestock. Oregon estimated its mountain lion population is slightly larger than California's, around 6,400 animals. The bee's analysis of permit data shows that two-thirds of the depredation permits since 1973 were issued for cougars that preyed on sheep and goats. Attacks on cattle accounted for just 10%, dogs and cats 8%. And this kind of makes sense because sheep and goat are smaller. When a lion is, and they probably are grazing in different areas too, I imagine. I typically don't see where sheep and goat are, but we see cattle all over the place. When a lion is killed under a depredation permit, the body is taken to a state lab for a necropsy, which is a requirement under Proposition 117. These necropsies show that pumas that kill pets or livestock tend to be young males, and they're usually healthy.
So they're not kittens, they're not cubs, because we don't kill mothers so much.
Mm-hmm. A little less than half of the Californian permits issued results in kills, 45%. State officials say most lions were killed by the U.S. Department of Agricultural Wildlife Services program working on behalf of residents whose livestock had been attacked. This controversial agency employs professional trappers, houndsmen, and sharpshooters who kill free of charge.
Quote, free of charge.
And I think we talked before about, like, this wildlife services, all you got to do is call them and be like, yeah, I think sheep got eaten somewhere. Maybe it's been hassling me. There's no proof required. Or much verifiable proof or records of such proof.
So they're a service agency to agriculture,
yeah.
Basically.
Paid for by us, I think. So that was an article from the November 17th, 2017 issue of the Sacramento Bee by Ryan Sabalo and Philip Reese, with updates from a release by the Associated Press on January 4th of this year.
So I did a little sleuthing, and I just wanted to give our listeners an update that we, if you don't know it, we do have mountain lions in Butte County. In April of this year, Butte City and Ord Bend had sightings of three mountain lions, and of course they've also been sighted in Upper Park and in the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. A trail cam on the Instagram profile for the Big Chico Ecological Reserve captured a female mountain lion on a trail in that reserve, which is just above Upper Park, on May 23rd, 2019. So we have them here. We want to be careful. The city website will post sightings of mountain lions if you see them. And so I want to pass on a few little precautions if you should encounter one. First of all, don't panic. Do not hike or run alone, especially from dusk to dawn. While mountain lions are not likely to approach you, they are even less likely to approach a more threatening, larger group. Keep your kids in sight and talk to them about mountain lion safety and what to do if they encounter one. If you encounter a mountain lion, stay calm, maintain eye contact, and do not run away. Try to appear larger than the lion by raising and waving your arms or by opening your jacket. Pick up small children and throw stones, branches, or whatever is in reach without crouching or turning away from the mountain lion.
Just think of your house cat. If you drag a string or throw something, it chases. They want to chase. And if you jump up and down and scream and yell, they run away.
Yeah, and when they attack, their main prey is a deer. And when they attack deer, they almost always attack from behind. So that's the reason for not turning your back to a mountain lion. And so, yeah, that's just some kind of basic little tips. They are not frequently seen. They're more commonly seen in the suburban areas where they're ringed around by mm-hmm. suburban developments. There was a comparison of the mountain lion as being a predator in a city. That kind of scenario happens in India, and mm-hmm. it happens in Southern California.
Yeah,
that's the kind of proximity that we have.
And sometimes down in the Bay Area, where you've got, you know, Silicon Valley on one side of the Santa Cruz Mountains, and Santa Cruz and a bunch of stuff on the other side, and they're trapped in between.
Yeah, I checked the California Fish and Wildlife Service Department of Fish and Wildlife website, and they have a couple of monitoring programs that they have set up. It's pretty common that these big cats are trapped, tranquilized, and radio collared.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to get more data on how big the ranges of these guys are, how they're distributed, and trying to get just a better understanding of these big cats. They once were going to skip the third story because we're running short on time, so I'm just going to just give a little fact, some few little facts about mountain lions. They once were distributed all the way from North America into South America, and that range has been extremely cut back because of human human activities, principally habitat destruction.
Yeah.
And let's see here. What did I look up? I looked up a bunch of names.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Well, I'm here. Cougars
and catamounts and mountain lions and pumas. There might have been one more in there. This confused me thoroughly, you know, when I was growing up. People would say, I saw this or I heard of that. I'm like, is that the same thing? And it's also a common high school mascot, one of those variations. So it'd be rather confusing.
Let's see here. I have it somewhere. Oh, here we go. Okay, so the American lion's scientific name is Puma concolor. Used to be Felis concolor, but they changed it into its own genus. That's a little nerdy science stuff for you. They go by the names. There are 40 English names for this animal. There's 18 South American names for it, and there's 25 North American names for it, such as mountain lion, cougar, panther, puma, painter, el león, and catamount. So those are just a few of the more common names for the mountain lion. Okay, so we got to the hunting behind. Let us go to
the calendar.
Is
it time for the
All
right, now it is time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar events. Get out your calendars, your notepads, your memorization techniques. Jeannie's got events.
Your tablets. Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to get to the right page. Oh, here we go. Okay, so we have June 26th, next Wednesday at this time, we have movie night with Chico for Animal Rights. They're going to be screening Okja. Chico for Animal Rights invites members of the community to come to their movie night to watch Okja, a movie about how a gentle giant and a girl who raised her get caught up in the crossfire between animal activism, corporate greed, and ethics. Chico for Animal Rights will provide free popcorn with optional Earth Balance butter. Hang on, let's get to the right page. My script is out of order. There we go. Wednesday, June 26, 2019, from 6:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Chico Peace and Justice Center, located at 526 Broadway Street. For more information, go to the Chico for Animal Rights Facebook page. June 30th. At the end of the month, we have the Last Sunday pop-up that will be hosted by Blackbird Cafe on Tacos Borrego. Tacos and Mexican fare, all vegan, on Sunday, June 30th, 2019, from 11 a.m. until they are sold out. For more information, go to the Blackbird Chico Facebook page, and that's going to be on June 30th. Coming up in July, it's not too early to start thinking about July. Join Harvest Home Sanctuary near Stockton, California, for their fourth annual 4th of July celebration. The event will feature a vegan picnic and self-guided tours of this amazing little sanctuary in Stockton. For tickets and for more information, go to the Harvest Home Sanctuary Facebook page. And that's it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's Animal Rights Quote of the Week is from Ashley Capps, writer and activist from the animal rights group Free From Harm. Ms. Capps wrote about the dairy industry and the undercover dairy investigation at the so-called Humane Dairy in Indiana that we reported on last week, saying, quote, "Bodies are not commodities, and motherhood should never be a thing we exploit." Her essay was titled, "There is no such thing as a fair life on a dairy farm, ever." Show notes and links. The articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and Instagram account under Chico Vegan.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow Earthlings who would rather not be killed than eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, shot because of depredation permits, and otherwise...